we are up to.
I'd like to dedicate a lezechanishma to my grandparents, Yechiel Mechel, then Avram Wolf, and Shane Lubatz Yosef, the family, the kids, the grandkids from Beretsky. He was the sheikh of Beretsky. And today was their day of the transfer.
Okay. So we're up to Chavakuk. We're up to Paragimel. We're in the middle of the Mamori Chazal. We are in the middle of the Mamori Chazal Paragays. Pasik Yutes. Yesterday we did one Mamori Chazal. Now I got to put up on the screen. I'm going to try to do something. I just hope this works. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Here we go. Let's see what happens. Okay. Share, photo, file manager, image. Okay, you see that? Everybody say, you see that? You can see me also. I could see you at the same time I see this on the screen. Everyone can see this? Can everyone see both?
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Okay, which part?
Yeah,
The Maamar Chazal. Are you able to, I'm using now a new system today.
Like,
I'm using
can
a new...
you increase in size like 50% more?
Yeah, so you can't, no, you can, are you on the phone?
I'm on the computer.
PC on the laptop, yeah, can I?
Okay.
I'm on, okay, oh, I see, okay. I can enlarge it. I see, okay. Let me try like this. Okay. I'm trying now a new technique today.
Oh, goodness. I think it's mute time now.
Okay. Can you see this? Can you see on the screen the? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on mute.
Yeah. Yeah. We see. I see.
Okay.
I see it very much.
Wait a second. We got a problem here.
Michael.
One second, I'm having a problem here. One second, I'm having a problem muting everyone. Give me one moment. This is new for me today. I'm doing something totally different today. I'm going to log out and log back in. Give me one moment.
You are not host. The host, Young Israel, is host.
I know. I want to be the host. Give me one moment. Okay, now I got it. Okay, everybody, so everyone's still here? No one disappeared? Okay, I'm muting you all. Okay. Now we got it. Let's go. Okay. Now let's continue. We are up to the Maamar Chazal, the second Maamar Chazal. The second Maamar Chazal is Tirgim Yaakov Ish Kvar Nivaraya. Okay, this is if you look on the screen, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Five lines down. Tirgim Yaakov Ish Kvar Nivaraya. As a pasuk, al zaken shenismana b'kesef. Okay, this is similar to what we said yesterday. Hoy oimelo eitz hakitza uri levin dumam. Woe to those who say to the piece of wood, wake up, to the stone, the dead stone, awake. Shehu shiyoshev dumim kemo eitz ve'evin. A person who is not knowledgeable, who is not qualified to make decisions, is like a piece of wood, a piece of stone that does not speak. Hu yoyre. Will he be able to make a decision? Does he know how to make a decision? He was appointed, this we did not learn yesterday, it was a bribe. The reason why he was appointed to his position is because he paid for it. It is corrupt. There is corruption. There is no knowledge. Hoy oimer bi'isun mi mane. Now, what does this mean? So over here, they did us the favor in the brackets. They gave us the translation. The im heyisem reitzim lemanos tayin hagun kuvar nemar. This is the uniqueness about this Maamar Chazal. Now, when we go into the next pasuk, it's telling us that if you wanted to appoint a dayon that is correct, vim heyisem reitzim. You went to the wrong place to find a dayan. If you want to find a dayan, do not go into the business world where the rich people are found. That's not where you're going to find a dayan. If you want to find a dayan, v'Hashem, the location where you'll find Talmidei Chacham that are eligible to decide halach matters, v'Hashem, is in the Heichal Kodshoi. So in this context, the word v'Hashem means a person who is attached to Hashem, is knowledgeable in Hashem's ways, who is eligible to serve as a judge. He will only be found in Hashem's holy abode. He's not to be found out in the business world. I always tell you this many times, that today we live in a generation where, unfortunately, everyone wants to have everything. Torah u'gedula b'makoyim echad. It's very unfortunate to say that most Rabbanim today, if you look around, most Rabbanim today, I don't know, not necessarily in Flatbush, but even Flatbush too, are independently wealthy. And they own their own shuls. And this idea where Rabbanim are supported by the Tzibur, to a very large degree, is a thing of the past. Many, I mean, of course, there are still a few young Israels. Here we have young Israel of Midwood, and we still have, you know, a system where we're Balabatim, they pay a Rav a salary, and the Rav is devoted the entire day to the study of Torah. He is devoted the entire day to learning, and he's not at all busy with business matters. It's impossible. A person is half the day or part of the day he's thinking about his real estate, thinking about his business holdings in some country. There's no yishuv hadas. It takes away from your ability to fully apply yourself in learning. That's the way it is. People are human beings. Human beings, it's very, very hard to divide. This idea of Torah u'gedula b'makom echad is something extremely rare. And that's what this pasuk here says, v'Hashem. If you really want to find a person that can represent the Ribbono Shel Olam, a person that can give you clear guidance in what your purpose here is in this world, to lead you with clarity, you're not going to find him in the business world. He is to be found b'Heichal Kodesho, in Hashem's holy abode. The beginning of the pasuk tells us, unfortunately, you're living in a world of make-believe, a world of fantasy. Hoy, oimel oetzokitza, uri lo evin dumam, hu yoyre, You're taking a person who you appoint to become the one that's going to be who Yoyre. Who Yoyre is not necessarily a question. Until now, we've always been translating these two words as a rhetorical question. That's not the only pshat. Who Yoyre is a statement. Hashem is saying, Hoy wo, Omer lo'eitz hokitza, the balabatim, they say to a piece of wood, wake up, tell us what we should do. Uri le'evin dumam, because, let us add the word because in at this point, hu yoyre, the balabatim have decided that he shall be the one who shall make the decisions. And they tell him, tell us what to do, wake up and give us a halachic decision. So the pasuk says, ridiculous. You're telling a piece of wood, a piece of stone, to make halachic decisions and to give guidance in difficult times. The person that you've appointed, why did he get the job? He got the job because he paid for the job. He wanted the kavod. He wanted the honor of sitting in the front. Everyone should bow down to him. Hinehu. He's nothing more than tofus zahav chesef. He's a person that's overlaid with gold and silver. And he gave you a few dollars, or someone bribed you in order to appoint him into this position of leadership. V'chol ruach ein bikirbo. That's what life is all about. If you really want to find a person that will successfully render halachic decisions and give you rabbinic guidance, v'Hashem, a person that truly represents Hashem, he is not going to be found in the business world by people who are paying bribes to put him in position. Behichal kotshoy. You have to go to the Beis Medrash and you have to find the person that's fully immersed with nothing else on his mind but the learning of Torah. And traditionally, that's the way it used to be. It used to be like that. It was very, very rare to have people who are independently wealthy. Obviously, there's a very big advantage to being independently wealthy because then no one can tell you what to do. Once a person in the position and he doesn't have a penny to his name, and his next dollar has to come from the goodwill of somebody, obviously his mind is going to be tainted. Once upon a time, I told you, I always go back to this. It was one of the most fascinating experience I had in my life, really. I mean, because it was very intense, is I took a course in rabbinic training by the National Council of Young Israel, Rabbi Michal's alma mater. Okay, Rabbi Michal, and I think the course that I took, if I'm not mistaken, was the first year. I believe it was the first year, and it was probably, I really don't know. It's possible that it was the best. It was the best. They did this for many, many years. I don't know if they still do it. Rabbi Michal, are you aware if they still do this? They still have this course? I think YU, yeah?
Sorry, what did you ask?
Does the National Council still offer the course in rabbinic training?
It's hard to know. I mean, Rabbi Hammer does still do some work. There is no organization, so.
Okay, whatever. But when they had this course.
I don't think that when I at the very end, well, I think they hadn't been doing it because they couldn't afford to.
It was a fantastic course, and I think also part of it is that those years when I was taking it, YU was not offering that much. YU, I mean, YU was obviously giving smicha and producing many rabbanim, but the practical element of rabbinics was not their forte. Now it is. Now YU, to a very large degree, has really taken over this niche in a very magnificent way. But then they had, every week, there were two rabbanim. Each rav spoke for at least 2 hours. And the first half an hour, they were all proper and fine. They were wearing their tie and everything was, you know, as if they were giving a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. And after half an hour, they loosened up and they began to spew forth their frustration as a rabbi. And some of the things that they said are just shocking. And I remember one rabbi said that one of the children, he has children in a shul, and a nice big shul somewhere, I don't know where the shul is, and his children were in shul, and they were in you know, they also went to the community school with the children of the other Balabatim in the shul, and the children, one of the children of one of the main Balabatim of the shul said to the rabbi's son, you know, if you don't do what I want, my father is not going to vote to renew your father's contract. Okay, now it doesn't get more nasty than that. Where did this kid learn to say something like that? That if you don't behave yourself, my father will not vote at the next board meeting to renew your father's contract. Now, is that nasty or what? Okay, so obviously when you're living a life like that, where children, even the children of the Balabatim, are speaking like that to your children, obviously the Rav is very influenced by the Balabatim to make decisions what to do. That's a horrible, horrible thing. What is the solution? The solution is for the rabbi to be independent. So the rabbi to have a shul, be independently wealthy, doesn't need to come on to anyone. And people who want to be led, people who want to be guided by his, he's a Talmud Chacham, and he wants to serve the community. So then there's no bribery. But what's the trade-off? The trade-off is anyone who is independently wealthy, their mind is not holding in learning. Their mind is holding in business. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as being able to fully devote yourself to learning at the same time when you're making major business decisions, you're a wheeler or a dealer, you're doing all these wild things in business. It's much better if you have a professional. If a doctor, if a rabbi is a professional, at least then you have a job at 9 to 5. You know, but people, especially in business, the pits, people are in business. Business occupies your mind 24/7. How could you be holding and learning, have Yishuv Hadas? Torah is so super delicate. It's so sensitive to be able to properly apply yourself. It's not possible. And this pasuk over here is coming to express exactly that. According to this Chazal, is that we're coming to contrast to two different types of rabbanim. A Rav, who is a rabbi who is appointed only because he is wealthy, he has bucket loads of money, versus a rabbi that has absolutely nothing. He has nothing. All he has is he has the Heichal Kodshai. For Hashem, you want to find Hashem, you're going to find Meichal Kodshai. This Maimon Chazal is awesome because it connects Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk Yates, to explain who they are. Let's go back. Yes.
The ancients, though, were always, the leadership was always very wealthy.
The yechidim, individuals, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Loi Posak, Mishulchonoi, Tsunoin, Vachazeres. The Gemara there, he says that he was phenomenally wealthy, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Moshe Rabbeinu, Pesolucho, Hashem gave him the Psoilus of the Luchos, sapphire dust, sapphire stone, which he was able to have nothing to worry about. These are individuals. These are exceptions. One in a million. Klal Yisrael needs Sari Alofim, Sari Meos, Sari Chamishim, Sari Asoros. I don't know the math, but it's a lot of people, a lot of Dayanim, a lot of levels of leadership from top to bottom that have to be involved. And if most of the day people are making big decisions and their mind is thinking about the stock market, should I buy, should I sell? Making shai real estate and construction and dealing with tenants, people get a little bit of a taste of what goes on in the business world. How I don't even know how they sleep, how the issues that some of these people have to deal with. It's no one gets rich by sitting around and doing nothing. People who are very wealthy, the vast majority of them, work very, very hard and zelumazeh have the daigus and the stress is proportionate to their wealth. And if at the same time you are recognized as being a super duper rabbi who can give over brilliant chidushim and make very complex halachic decisions to be a poisek, it doesn't go like that. It doesn't go. Today we live in a generation where you can have it all. Everyone thinks they have it all. Everyone has to have Torah Gedul. What do? Half a day, sit and learn. Half a day, he's a Rav, he gives Daf Yom Yashir, and he sits and learn. And the other half a day, he's in business. Yeah, what business? I don't know what business. He's in some business. Or he it doesn't go like that. It doesn't work like that. If you're half a day in business, then you can't have both. It's very, very few yechidim. One in a million are zeicher to have Torah u'gedula b'makayim echad. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, there are a couple of lists of people that Chazal, but that's not the average person, and that's exactly what the Sfeik of here says. V'Hashem Heichal Kodshoi, this is awesome. Right smack in the middle of the page, right smack in the middle of the page, where's Hashem, Torah Hashem, Nimtes, Bebeis HaKnesses. That's where you'll find the Dayan. You're not going to find the Dayan in the market, on the stock, in the stock market, glued to the screen, and playing around, patching around with stocks. That's not where you're going to find Talmidei Chachamim. A real Talmud Chacham is a person that's Ach V'Rak Torah. Ha, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Lozar, this is a Yushalmi, okay, the Yushalmi Eliezer, okay, like a laser. You see Rabbi Eliezer, you mentioned over here, in the Gemara over here. See Lozar, see Ha, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Lozar, Bichnishta Mad Risa, okay, Dikresin. Who is the person? Who is the person that we are referring to? The Gemara gives an example of Yitzchak Bar Loza beKnisha de Madrasa the Kreisin. The Gemara there is naming a person. He is the person that was totally immersed in learning. Okay. Now, by the way,
Caesarea.
He's the person that Kula Shakua, totally immersed in learning, nothing more learned. Now, by the way, I want to point on one thing because this is going to become an issue, and Rabbi Kalis mentioned this to me. My callousy is that we all know very well is that we spoke about this many, many times, and sometimes we try, sometimes we ignore it, sometimes we don't. The chapter breaks in the entire Tanakh were not arranged by Shomrei Torah u'mitzvahs. The chapter breaks throughout the entire Tanakh were arranged by Christians. And every chapter break, almost without exception, it's just you have to go deep down into their minds, was done lehachis. It was done in order to inject apikursis in Klal Yisrael. They broke up the prakim in places which would bring support to their ideology. And sometimes it's clearly obvious, and sometimes it's not. Now, here is a very interesting example. Now, why is this? This is maybe even one of the most prominent examples in the entire Tanakh. Because these psukim are the psukim of the Haftorah of Shavuos. V'Hashem, the Haftorah of Shavuos begins with the words, V'Hashem Beichal Kodshoi. Hashem is to be found in this holy abode. Has mipanav kol aretz. The earth should be silenced. And then, Tefil l'chalak u'kanavi. Al Shig Yoy Nois. Now, the fact that we begin the Haftorah with the words V'Hashem Heichal Kodshoi is an indication that this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the section. If that is the case, why then in our editions is Perek Gimel after the Perek Beis ends after this pasuk, and Perek Gimel starts Tefillah L'Chavakuk HaNavi. It's as if the Christian, it's as if the one, the editor, whoever put this chapter break, which means absolutely nothing. This is not at all divine. There is absolutely nothing religious about the chapter breaks, but it crept in. It was done by an editor, a printer, who was obviously not religious. Was he an apostate? Probably, because only the best apikorsim were the apostates, not the Christians. And what is he doing? Why is he breaking up Pasuk Chaf from Pasuk Aleph when it is our tradition to begin the Haftorah with V'Hashem Beichal Kodshoi, Has Miponav Kol Aretz? What is going on here? Now the thing we have to keep in mind is that almost all, many of the Mamori Chazal that we have learned do agree that Pasuk Chaf should be attached to Pasuk Yotes, which indicates that the printer was right even from an Orthodox Jewish perspective. And if that is true, then the question is turned upside down. So why then, when we learn the Haftorah on Shavuos, do we go back one pasuk in the middle of a section, which is the conclusion of the previous section, and begin with one pasuk. Okay, so this is something which we have to come to more. But the point I want to make over here is that the last two Mamori Chazal that we have learned, what we learned yesterday, and what we learned today, clearly connects pasuk Chaf with pasuk Yotes. And in fact, Rashi and the Radak, I think almost everyone, I think basically every single commentary on the page that we learned so far agrees that Pasuk Chaf is connected to Pasuk Yotes. We learned Nivdim Pirush. We're not going to review them now. They all agree to that principle. So why, the question really is not why Perik Gimel is positioned where it is. The question is more why on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, on the second day of Yom Tov, when we lay in these words as the Haftarah, do we begin with Pasuk Chaf and not with Pasuk Aleph, when Pasuk Chaf truly is the end of an idea? You can't go start from Pasuk Chaf, because the only way you could possibly understand Pasuk Chaf is if you understand Pasuk Yotes. As we've just learned, Pasuk Chaf is coming to tell us that the type of Dayan that is correct is a Dayan, the Hashem, is only to be found Mechel Kodshoi, not a Dayan that's been paid, that someone paid, that's been bribed his way into his position. Or like the first thing we learned yesterday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish. We learned yesterday that Pasuk Chaf is the punishment to the people who have appointed the Dayanim of Pasuk Yotes. Okay, these are just the last two of the many perushim that we've learned. Okay, now with that in mind, we'll come back to that in Mir Tashem soon. But right now, let's go further. In the next Maimer Chazal, Midas Bas of Adam. Okay, so you see over here on the screen. I'll move it up a little bit. Okay, Midas Basar Vedam. I'll move it to the side. It doesn't move to the side. All right. Midas Basar Vedam. It says here, the Midas Basar Vedam Keshu Bepalten Shaloi Einoi Bamedina. When a person is in his palace, he's not in Medina. Keshu Bamedina Einoi Bepalten. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einoi Kein Elo Yeshnoi Be'elyoinim Uvetachtoinim Tomit Shnei Vashem Echol Kodshoi Has Mipan of Colorants. This is something that you teach children. We're going back to elementary school. We learned yesterday, Targum, whoever joined me, we learned Targum and Chumash, like Mamish Kindelach in Cheder. And now we're learning over here, where is Hashem? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. How could Hashem be here when he's there? This is something which is going back to the question. A human being is created in the Tselem Elohim. Man is created in the image of Hashem. And every part of our body represents a concept of Hashem's existence. Hashem is not physical. That is one of the animamins that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no guf, einoi guf, lo yasigu, masigi haguf klol. One of the 13 principles of faith, according to the Rambam, is to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not at all physical. He does not have a body. He does not have fingers. Does not have a head. Does not have anything that we have. Yet, we have to appreciate that we are still created in the image of Hashem, in the Tzelem Elohim. Now, those two ideas would appear to contradict one another. How could the Rambam say that Hashem is not a guf, lo yasiguhu masigi haguf klal? How do we reconcile that with the principle that man is created in the image, in the Tselem Elohim? So obviously what it means is that our physical bodies are metaphor, are just physical examples of concepts, of principles that are true to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that misleads us to believe that there must be an exact parallel. And we always like to talk about the parallel of sleeping. A human being must sleep. There is no such thing as a human being living a life without going to sleep. Doesn't exist. Chazal said, if a person makes a shavua that I will not sleep for 3 days, it is a false shavua. A person must, at some time within 72 hours, he has to fall asleep. Cannot possibly be that a person can go for 72 hours without even a little bit, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't know what the science is. Some people, they sleep the whole day. Okay, but people need to sleep a little bit. If anyone needs a good sleep, you just send them here. You send them to the morning kollel. They'll wake up refreshed. Guarantee it. So, but how could a person need to sleep? It says in the pasuk, "Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael." The Ribbono shel Olam does not sleep. So how could there be such a thing in a human being of sleep if a human being is created in the Tzelem Elokim? How could it be then that a man sleeps when the Ribbono shel Olam does not sleep? Okay, next question. A person can only be in one place at a time. That's what it says here. If a person is in Midwood, he's not in Florida. If he's in Florida, he's not in Eretz Yisrael. If you're in the basement, you're not in the attic. This is the world of reality. You only can be in one place at one time. You can't dance at two chasanas. Okay? It doesn't work like that. You can't be in two places at one time. If that's the case, but if man is created in the Tzelem Elokim, so that would mean that Hashem also can only be in one place at one time. And indeed, if we were to take a course in Princeton to learn about the philosophy of religion, we may come discover that in some religions, indeed, they work with this principle that their gods, their idols, are only in one place at one time. They cannot be located in multiple places. It is an awesome principle of Yadus, which I think we take for granted. Baruch Hashem, we've been brought up with the basics. It's in our blood for generations, with basic principles that are just pasha to us, which if you were to take a newcomer to religion, it's not pasha at all. That the Ribbono shel Olam is everywhere. He's everywhere. He is here, there, up, down, all around. Okay, the Magen Avram. What's the Magen Avram? The Magen Avram is six sides. There are 6 points. The Ribbono shel Olam is everywhere. Every dimension. All 4 sides of the world. And Lamala Ulamata. There is no molecule in the world where the Ribbono shel Olam is not present. In every mashu of the coronavirus, the Ribbono shel Olam is there also. He is the one that gives life, sustenance to every living thing in this world. But a human being can only be found in one location at a time. How then do we reconcile the principle of man is created b'tzelem Elokim when these things are obviously not true? But at least this pasuk here is the source of this principle that Hashem is everywhere, even though Vahashem is beheichal kodshoy, man on this earth is silent. Why is man silent? Because Hashem is present here also. How could that be? If Hashem is out there, outer space, so we can do whatever we want. His presence should not be felt here in this world. Why are we silent? Because of his awesomeness. The pasuk is telling you that's exactly the point. Hashem is in Shamayim, but Hashem is here on this world as well. Hashem is not like a human being. Hashem can be in two places at the same time. Although Vahashem is Beichel Kotshoi, still has mipanav kol aretz, his presence is felt here on this earth as well. Now, what about the answer to that question? So the answer has to lie in the word tselem. Man is created not equal to Hashem. Man is created in the tselem of Elohim. The word tselem, I don't know what I'm saying, but the question is an obvious question. If man is created in the image of Hashem, so why do we find man as limited and Hashem is infinite? It's because man is not a parallel. The word tselem obviously means many, many steps down. Tselem does not mean an equal parallel. It does not mean every single thing you find by Hashem, you have to find by man. If Hashem can be in multiple locations, so man can be in multiple locations. I know you'll try to suggest, drush, that man is also found all over the world, because when a man leaves an impact, he lives on in the mind of many people. Someone will try to answer you like this, that if a person is look at the Rambam, okay, take the Rambam. Where is the Rambam? Where is he? Where is the Rambam? So is the Rambam, where is he buried, the Rambam? The Rambam is buried in Meiron? No. Tveria? Where's the Rambam? Does anyone remember? Anyone know? Anyone in our virtual audience know? Where is the Rambam buried? Where in Eretz Yisrael is he buried? Where is his kever?
Tveria.
Tveria. Tveria.
Right next to the main bus station.
So the Rambam, where is the Rambam right now? He's in Tveria. Really? That's where the Rambam is? The Rambam is not in Tveria. The Rambam.
The Ramchal is also in Tveria. The Archer is coming up.
So where is the Rambam? The Rambam is everywhere. Wherever you go, wherever you look, the teachings of the Rambam, his influence, his Yirah Shamayim, affects in this world today, in 2020, every living creature. So that's right. The Rambam is created in the Tselem Elokim. Just like Hashem is infinite, he's all over, the Rambam lives on in the minds of every single living person. Okay, so you will be able to answer al derech derush that enochinami, man is created in the tselem Elokim, just like Hashem is all over the world, is all over. Hashem can be in two places at the same time. A human being also can be in two places at the same time, not physically, but in our minds, the Rambam lives on. When it comes to Hine lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael, how could it be the person sleeps? Well, there are different levels of sleep. A person also to a certain degree does not sleep. When you are sleeping, your mind is active. You're involved. Right? This is drush. This is drush. This is not solid science here. But a more simple answer to this question is, it lies in the word tselem. Man is created b'tselem Elokim. I don't know what it means, but obviously the word tselem is a filter. It's a filter between Hashem and man. There are certain attributes that go through the filter, and there are certain attributes of Hashem that do not make it through the filter. It's not, man is not an exact match for the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is a filter which separates man from Hashem, but also allows man to share some of the attributes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the filter is certainly preventing the principle of allowing man to exist, to be located, to be present in more than one place at a time, unlike Hashem, which this is the makar. This is the most basic pasuk we have to appreciate. We tell this to children, where is Hashem? Hashem is here. But if Hashem is here, how could he be over there? How could Hashem be in Eretz Yisrael when Hashem is in America? Or Hashem is in America and Eretz Yisrael? Different times. When is Shabbos? If Shabbos is 7 hours ahead in Eretz Yisrael, so how could there be a Shabbos in America 7 hours later? How could all of that work? The answer is Hashem can be in many places at many times. And this pasuk is the source. Although Vahashem is Bechol Kodshoy, Hashem is also Hasmi Panav Kol Aretz. His presence is felt here on this earth. And Hashem is not like a human being, because a human being is filtered through a filter called Atzelem. And that allows some attributes to pass and prevents some attributes from passing. Next. Okay, that's it. That is it for the Likutei Shas. And now I want to maybe do a little bit of since Shavuos is coming up, we really should get moving. I want to do a little bit from Shavuos before we run out. So let's start Tefillah Chavakuk. If we have time, we'll come back to the Gra. Let's move ahead. We have to move ahead. So let me take this off. Okay, now we're going to go back and learn. Vahashem Heichal Kodesh. We'll go to the next pasuk. Okay, Vahashem Beheichal Kodeshai. Tzvila Lachavakuk Hanavi Al Sheg Yoinais.
Can I say something about the thing?
Absolutely.
Tefillah L'Chavakuk HaNavi al Shidyonos. Shidyonos represents musical instruments that were played, and with this tefillah, they play musical instruments. Likewise, in Tehillim, there were musical instruments. In Perek Zayin, it's a Shigoyon L'David. That is a musical, the same thing, this plural.
Shigoyon L'David.
To play. We also have in the Yom of Chamishi, Lav Naseach Al HaGitis, the also the Gitis is a musical
another
instrument.
Musical
Shrinis
instrument.
Shrinis is a musical instrument. There a lot of them are musical instruments that are played. Lav Naseach Al Shminis, Al HaNechilis. And this is the only time outside Tehillim that you have a musical instrument playing, which is Tefillah L'Chav Vakuk HaNovi Al Shidyonos. On these musical instruments, their deeper meanings to Shigoyon, but this is the musical instruments that are playing with the tefillah or accompanying the tefillah.
That's very fascinating. You say that it's the only place outside of Tehillim, where you have a musical instrument. That's very interesting. It's the only place. Tehillim is full. Tehillim is full of all different types of musical instruments.
That's right.
And Chumash as well. And Chumash, we also have. They have the kinar, the toif, the mochel. They're all different types of. And what are these musical instruments? Who knows? Some people claim they know. They have pictures and they have ancient times of
things. Well, Shminis is the eight string harp, and there's a 10 string harp and whatever it is.
Right. They're all different types of the piano. They're all different. Also, Lavoi, there's going to be a musical instrument that has 10 strings. The harp of David had 8, but there's a medrash that says that also Lavoi, the harp will have 10. It will be a different type of music. Okay, let's see.
Isn't Nevuah accompanied by music?
Is Nevuah? You find that by Shaul. Shaul, he gave the command they should play music in order to bring upon him a Ruach HaKodesh. The Shechina is only Shoyre on a person who is Besimcha. The Shechina only rests upon a person who is in a state of joy, and therefore, Nevi'im would often, that's what it says in Chazal, would often use music to elevate their spirit, so that they should be in a frame of mind of simcha, so that the Ruach HaKodesh would come upon them. Correct. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was the Mokam of Hashuas HaShchina, and the Levim would sing. They would sing with musical instruments. There's a machloikis in the Gemara, is the Ikar Shira Bepeh, or is the Ikar Shira Bechli? What exactly was the nature of the Shiras HaLevim? They did two things. They sang and they played musical instruments. What was the primary form of joy that accompanied the offering of the Korbanos? That is definitely true. Of course, music and musical instruments have a major part in this world. In this world. So Mr. Weiss is telling us Shigyonos here refers to a musical instrument. Okay, that is one of different perushim. Some are going through the word Shigyonos means an error. It means a mistake. And that refers back to Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. We're going to review some of the pratim in a few moments, but what basically what happened over here is that Chavakuk challenged Hashem. Chavakuk in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, he says some very harsh words to Hashem. Ribono shel Olam, I really don't understand what is going on. You need some help in running this world. You need some guidance. Hamasah, if you go back to Perek Aleph, in the Chavakuk, he begins Hamasah. The Masah is a word for the prophecy. Asher Chazah, Chavakuk Hanavi. And what does he begin? Pasuk Beis. Immediately he complains to Hashem. Ad ono Hashem, shivati v'lo yisishma. We point to Shalom, what is going on here? How many times do I have to tell you to cut it out? How many times do I have to complain to you and tell you enough? Enough. I've made a request, and where is my stimulus check? How many times do I have to call you up and ask you to send me my stimulus check? At ono Hashem shivati v'lo yisishma. Ezak elecha, I cry out, yuchamos v'lo soshia. I called 911 and the police have not come. How many times do I have to call 911? And then he goes on, loma sareni oven v'omol tabit v'shoid v'chamos l'negdi. We buy nishlelem, how long are you going to allow corruption, violence, to continue to operate in this world? We have a modern Isa. Okay, he goes on. We learned all of this. He goes on and he complains about the Kastim, about Edom, about the times of Mashiach, all the different things that we've discussed. And then in Perek Beis, Hashem says to Chavakuk, Chavakuk, take a cold shower, calm down, and come back, and I'll explain a few things to you. Don't talk to me with chutzpah. Behave yourself. I know what I'm doing. And in Perek Beis, Hashem says to Chavakuk, patience! Have patience. Everything is going to work its way out. In Perek Gimel, Chavakuk comes to acknowledge that you're right. I made a big mistake. The words that I expressed were sinful, were harsh, were said out of ignorance, out of youth, due to a lack of maturity. And I recognize now Tzadik Hashem, Hatsur Tamim Paulo Kichol Derochav Mishpat. And Perek Gimel Chavakuk is coming to confess, to ask Hashem forgiveness for speaking improperly to Hashem. Shigyonos means it was a shigoga, kishgoga sheyotza milifnei hashalit. This we say this in Koheles, that a person should keep his words few. Why? Because if you're going to, I don't remember the whole pasuk b'al peh in Koheles. Lama tachbal elokim al masecha. I don't remember the words, but there it says kishgaga sheyotzei milifnei hashalit. Words of error leave the mouth of the ruler. Sometimes rulers make bad decisions. They issue decisions and they are irreversible, and it's a very big problem. It's a mistake. So here as well, it's a tefillah l'Chavakuk Hanavi. Chavakuk Hanavi is now coming to pray to Hashem. His prayer is a prayer of asking Hashem for forgiveness. Al shig yoinois, for his multiple errors in life in challenging Hashem. Let's see the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos. I'm assuming you have a Mitzudos David. Where is it over here? Pasuk Aleph. Al shig yoinois. This means to say, Tefilos Chayis Bavur Sheshogag V'Hisra'im Al Mul Hashem. The Metzilus learns the word Shigyonis of an error. He Shashogag, the Hisraim, he complained. He's now going to pray to Hashem and to give over to relate Hashem's praise. Now, I told you for forgiveness. It's not what the Mitzudas David said. And we have to see accurately how all the Mepharshim learned what was the purpose of this prayer. The Mitzudas David off the bat says, it doesn't say that he's praying for forgiveness. He is praising Hashem. He's acknowledging he made a mistake, and at least the first step is to praise Hashem. Rashi, al shigyonos, yesh lefoisroi ki targumoi. The Targum says, what's the Targum? Let's read the Targum. There's a long Targum over here. There's a long Targum. The Targum says, tzilaisa, I don't know if you have the Targum, but I'll read you the Targum. Tzilaisa means the prayer. The tzalicha v'akuk hanavi, kadwen, Iskili le al archa dihav lirashi aya. When it was revealed to him, the Targum is injecting a long commentary into this pasuk that it does not say. When it was revealed to him the fact that Hashem has patience with the wicked, the im yisuvun, to give them the opportunity to do teshuva. Le'oi roisa, to the Torah, bilavav shalim, with a full heart, yish tevek lohoin, Hashem will forgive them, vihoin kol choyvehoin, will forgive them and all of their debts, dechavu kodomohi, and that they owe Hashem, that they are guilty before Hashem, ha kishalusa, this was his mistake. Kishalusa means this was my error. The error that I made, that I did not appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient. So let's take a step back. The Targum here is awesome. And this Targum is critical to appreciate why we recite on Shavuos Yitziv Piskam after we say this pasuk. Okay, Yitziv Piskam, everyone knows that on Shavuos we do something very, very unique. On Shavuos, we recite on the first day Akdamos. Akdamos milin vishara yoshusa avla shakilna harma urushusa, something like that. And on the second day, we say Yitziv Piskam v'yayiran. I forgot the next words. We say Yitziv Piskam. What is Yitziv Piskam and what is Akdamas? Well, in ancient times, we know that after the Baal Kriya would read a pasuk, the Meturgamon would immediately translate the pasuk for the Tzibur. This today is obviously not done. It is still done by the Yemenites. In the Yemenite Bate Kinesios, it's done. If you go to the Kaisel HaMaravi on Shabbos, you can be certain to find a minion there, the Kaisel HaMaravi, where you can watch how there is a Baal Kriya and there is a Meturgamon that translates every single pasuk. Now, the Meturgamon, in addition to being reading the Targum, was given an opportunity to deliver a sermon. That's the way it was. The Meturgamon was a master orator. Wasn't just a person that had a clear diction, a loud voice, and a clear diction. The Meturgamon was a darshan. And it was typical that the Meturgamon, he would give an introduction to the parasha, and he can say whatever he wants. He can talk about the price of tea in China if he wants. The pasuk, the Baal Kriya reads the pasuk, and then the Meturgamon says, okay, we're going to translate. But before I translate, it's my right. That was the drasha. Okay, that was part of the drasha. Okay, the rabbi gives a drasha. It could very well be that the rabbi's sermon, from time immemorial, we have an ancient tradition that a rabbi delivers a sermon in shul, which is a dying thing. Rabbanim today don't give sermons anymore. It's very getting harder and harder to find Rabbanim who are still giving sermons. Most Rabbanim are saying Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah is very nice, beautiful. Torah is Torah. But that's not the minhag. The minhag is to talk current events. A sermon, I didn't look up the definition in the Oxford Dictionary of sermon. I have to look up later on. But a sermon traditionally was where the rabbi opened up on the Bima, the New York Times, and he told you, Das Torah. This is what is happening in the world. And hafoichba de kulaba. If this event has happened in the world against the backdrop of this week's parasha, it is obvious that in this week's parasha, we have a means, a method of deciphering the deeper meaning of what is happening in the world today. And the role was to put in perspective current events in perspective with the words of, with the Torah. Okay, that is a very unique talent, a very unique art, to be able to do that responsibly with Yirah Shamayim and merit Siyata Deshmaya to deliver a message that is emes. It used to be, back in the day, there were many such people that had that level of Yirah Shamayim and that talent. Today, it's very, very rare. It's extremely rare. And even if a rabbi can do it 1 week, it's not likely he'll be able to do magic next week. Therefore, many rabbanim shy away from the traditional role of delivering a sermon, and instead, they deliver a Devar Torah, words of inspiration. Very nice. It's very nice, but that's not what a sermon is. That's the world that we live in today. Where did that minhag originate? That the rabbi would deliver a sermon to put in perspective current events from the Torah, from the Torah's perspective? It's rooted in the miturgamon. Not in the targum that you actually read, but in the miturgamon's intro, his introduction. The miturgamon was given an opportunity to say whatever he wanted to say as the introduction to the targum. We don't do this anymore. We don't even read the targum. Forget about the targum. And introductions, forget it. But in order to preserve a relic of the past, we do it once a year. We do it on Shavuos, on the first day of Shavuos. Mm-hmm. We have the miturgamon for the Torah. And we have selected an ancient piece from Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. And in that, is recited as an ancient reminder of what used to be back in the day, an ancient intro to the an introduction, and of the first pasuk, and we do the same thing. There was a miturgamon for the Nevi'im when they would lay in the haftorah, and that we fulfill on the second day of Shavuos in Chutz Li'aretz when we lay in this haftorah and the Baal Kriya. He reads Vashem Behechal Kotcha. He reads one pasuk, the one who lends the haftorah, Vashem Behechal Kotcha, Has Mipunav Kol Aretz, and then he reads the introduction, and the introduction is Yitziv Piskam. Last year we spent a lot of time on Yitziv Piskam. I don't think we're gonna do it this year. Do other things. There's a fantastic sefer. Someone put out in English, an awesome sefer, on Akdamas last year. It was published last year. Unfortunately, this year all the Sfarim stores are totally locked up, and online, it's not the same. Seeing the new Sfarim online, in fact, not too many Sfarim have come out this year. In these last 6 weeks, most of the publishers have held back; they're not publishing anything. Very, 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 very few new things have been published. A teeny fraction of what would ordinarily have been published has been published in the last 2 months. Because it's just not practical, more or less, for the Hamaynam to be introduced properly in the traditional ways to the new Sefer. So nothing really has come out. But last year, this awesome, awesome Sefer in English on Akdamas, and we spent time in it last year. But in any event, this is now. Why did Chazal select Shavuos? So you have to appreciate that that Yitziv Piskam is the translation, is the introduction to this pasuk, to this pasuk. And this pasuk is very, the Targum is very unique. Most of the time, the Targum pretty much translates the words. Being that in Nevi'im, it's not Unkelis, it's Targum Yoinasan, it's Targum Yoinasan Ben Uziel. It's a bit more elaborate. And sometimes, indeed, the Targum gets a little carried away. But more or less, it's just a pretty much a straightforward translation. And there are nuances of expression. And there are unique words that the Targum likes to throw in. But here, the Targum really, really went off the deep end. He went off the deep end with what he says. Here it says, Tefillah l'chavakuk ha'navi al shigyonais. Mr. Weiss said simply, Chavakuk ha'navi, he composed a beautiful prayer, and the prayer was meant to be recited with music. It should be accompanied by music. Take out the harp, take out the organ, whatever this musical instrument is, that's all it says. But that's then where we learned the mitzvah stavit a little bit more. The Chavakuk, we're going back, we are relating back to the beginning of Sefer Chavakuk. Chavakuk, he spoke to Hashem with chutzpah. So Chavakuk now is coming to apologize, and his apology begins with praise. But the Targum is much richer. The Targum is extremely rich in his translation. And he says, one more time, a prayer that Chavakuk prayed, when it was revealed to him by Hashem, which really is basically the entire Perek Beis, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is patient with wicked people, and the reason why Hashem is slow, what appears to us, is slow in punishing the world. And if you can't deny the fact that Perek Aleph, Perek Beis is dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, dealing with Melech Ashur, dealing with the wicked people of that we're living through in this generation. And he's telling us that Hashem is very patient. You know why? He gives the wicked an opportunity to return to the Torah. He's adding words. De'im, he doesn't just say to do teshuvah. This is Shavuos. De'im yisuvun le'oiraisa. They will come back to Torah with a full heart. Hashem will forgive them and all of their debts. Unbelievable what it says here. If you were writing this pasuk, if you were in the place of the Targum, we wouldn't say any of this. And if we would say some of it, you would say, "Oh, Hashem is patient. He's patient with wicked people." Okay. Then you want to go say, "Hashem is patient and Hashem is forgiving." No. He adds here something that is totally off the charts with all the exponents that you can possibly add, which captures the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Look what it says here. It's just shocking. De'im yisuvun, if they will repent. What will they repent? Where will they will return? Le'oiraisa. They will return to the Torah, bilevav shalem, with a full heart. This is Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is not just anaya. They say in the yeshiva world, they like to say it's like almost a joke. It became almost a joke that Shavuos is anaya kabbalah satorah. It's a new kabbalah satorah. We were mekabel the Torah, I don't know the numbers, 3,000 years ago. Whatever it was, here we are today, Tof Shin Pei, Anaya Kabbalah Satayra. Anaya Kabbalah Satayra. Then we come to the second day of Shavuos. Targum says, it's not Anaya Kabbalah Satayra, it's not a new Kabbalah Satayra. Return back to the Torah that you accepted 3,000 years ago. If you will im yisuvun le'oraisa bilevav shalem, if you will return to the Torah with a full heart, Hashem will forgive you for your debts. You won't have to pay the mortgage. You won't have to pay for the car lease. You won't have to pay for food. You won't have to pay the PPP loan that you took for your small business. Machalach, machalach, machalach. If only you will return to the Torah b'lev of Sholem. What's the chilik between the first day of Shavuos and the second day of Shavuos? The first day of Shavuos is Anaya Kabbalah Satara. The second day of Shavuos is let's return back to the old Kabbalah Satara. You don't always have to get something new. Sometimes just fix what you already have. You have to get a new smartphone every single 6 months. Who told you to waste your money and get a new smartphone every 6 months? If there's something wrong with your smartphone, just get it fixed. You need some more memory? Get an upgrade. You have to go waste $500 on another mishigas? Just fix what you already have. That's the second day of Shavuos. Tefila l'chavakuk ha'navi al shig yonais. We're coming to emphasize this pasuk. Return to the Torah, b'leiv of sholem. This is Shavuos, and all is forgiven. And this is something that, unfortunately, we forget. Al shig yonais, ha kishalusa. This is our mistake. This is the big mistake of life. Not recognizing and realizing that the solution to our problems are right out in front of us. It's in front of us. Chazor, return to what you already have. You have the Torah, do tshuva, and everything is forgiven, forgotten, and you can move on into a new and better world. That is the Targum. Tomorrow, Miyirtz Hashem, we'll pick it up from here. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn about the Luchos. Okay, part one, we'll learn about the Luchos, and part two, I want to learn more about Rus, more about some Machshava, some Drush, as to why we lay Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. I'll see you back in 2 minutes.